Let's hear it for the boys, because the boys are back in town with Gen V Season 2. I'm just a boy, Alex.
I'm still a boy. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are here to talk about the Gen V Season 2 premiere, Episode 1, New Year, New You. That is on Prime Video now, so if you haven't seen it yet, go watch it. We're going to get into spoilers. Big episode, big return, picking up off of the end of the last season of The Boys and kicking things into high gear pretty much immediately. To give a brief bit of recap, and then we're going to talk about our feelings about the return of the show. There's obviously some big things that go down in the show, and also big things
extra
go down
feelings.
External, extra feelings. There's an extra layer of feelings going on here. We don't exactly pick up with the cliffhanger of the end of the last season for very real, very good reason, which left a bunch of our characters in a circular prison with no doors. It was weird. We speculated about what was going to happen. The awful thing that happened between seasons is Chance Perdomo, who starred as Andre, passed away shockingly and horribly in a motorcycle accident. And I will say, laudably, the show puts that up front and doesn't let go of it. They put four Chance. That's the first thing you see in the episode.
Oh, man.
And then throughout, they grapple with the fictional passing of Andre, as well as, I'm sure, a lot of the actors' real feelings about the passing of Chance. We'll talk more about this in a second. But we actually start in 1967, find out about something called the Odessa Project. We watch a bunch of scientists die, all in horrible ways. We get to meet Ethan Slater, Bach from Wicked, as Dr. T. Godalkin. And then we cut to the present. We get a bunch of catch-up with a bunch of characters. We find out that the world knows Victoria Newman is dead after the events of the last season of Boys. They think Queen Maeve is dead. She's not. But we know that. Tech Knight. And then the religious guy, who I forgot to write down the name of. But anyway, a bunch of new people are there. We also got a new dean for the school since the last dean, Dean Shetty.
Zalbs? Come on, Zalbs. Are you excited?
I love Hamish Linklater.
Good.
Come on.
Playing the role of love.
Come on.
Well, I do. What Pete is pointing out is I love the character Cypher from the X-Men. This is a different character who does not have the iconic Y of Cypher from the X-Men comics.
Right. But his name is Cypher. Come on.
Whenever I hear you say that you love Cypher, I also think Y.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I get it. Anyway, not to spend too much time on this, we catch back up with the students. Jordan and Emma get released by Kate, who is at the school. Kate is grappling with a bunch of frustrations with everything that's going on around her. Sam is dating Justine, the girl who was super mean to Emma last season. I was friends with Haley, I want to say. I think I have that wrong. But the girl with the tail is basically like an influencer wannabe. But Jordan and Emma are very conflicted about it, particularly because Marie broke out and Andre died after that. Over the course of the episode, just to kind of speed this up a little bit, we follow Marie as she is on the run looking for her sister, Annabeth.
Horrible about being on the run, by the way. You can't stay in the same location and keep walking.
She's not doing a great job.
She's not great.
And to that point, a bunch of people track her down, including Dognot,
very
who she gets
easily
in a big fight with. And then is saved by Starlight, who wants her to look into Project Odessa for her, leading to the end where Emma and Jordan find Marie, run into her, and seemingly kill Kate accidentally at the end of the episode. So some big stuff goes down. Lots of other things happen in the middle as Emma and Jordan are pretty morose, but back at school. And there's more things we can talk about. We also check in with Polarity, who's really not doing well and knows about Andre passing away. And everybody, as I said, is grappling and reeling from that. But yeah, that's, again, broad overview of the episode. Let's talk about the thoughts on the first episode, feelings on it being back, as well as how you felt they dealt with the weight of what happened to Chance Perdomo.
Well, to talk about the Chance stuff first, I thought they did a smart thing that I think also Black Panther 2 did after the passing of Chadwick Boseman, is they put the death of the character on screen and allowed the characters and the actors to sort of mourn, and the fans really, to mourn together, mourn within the story and without the story. And that's such a smart, I don't think it's in any way they were trying to be taking advantage of the death, but like it just puts the feelings there in a way that makes us all process it, that I think is just really smartly done in an age and in a show that has such a huge active fan base. It makes us better, and it makes the show better. So I really appreciated the way they handled it.
Yeah, it was a real emotional roller coaster for me. I really think that, like, the four chants hit me so hard because I was like, I went from being like so excited and then immediately like, oh God, I'm not ready. This is so fast and so soon. Yeah, I almost wanted more kind of Andre, and hopefully we'll get kind of more of that as we move forward as far as just people processing and dealing, because it's such a huge loss. But I was super excited to have this show back. It's a great show. So awesome of them to kind of put 4chan, have that kind of moment. And then, as Justin said, having the kind of characters react to this loss was powerful and amazing and great for us too as audience members to kind of, like, just the walking past the picture in that one shot there. And I was just, oh, I was a mess. And the dad who was just like, you know, what do you want from me? Get the fuck away from me. You know, like, Emma had a good thought of like, hey, we should go tell the dad, make sure he knows. And he did know. And yeah, he was in rough shape. And yeah, so just really cathartic and hard and amazing. And overall, it was just like, very excited to have this very creative, very fun show that kind of pokes a lot of different areas and ideas. And overall is a blast. So excited to have this back. And man, what a hell of a first episode. And to kind of see Emma going from that, like, talking to herself in the mirror to then being like in beer pong, being thrown around in the beers just because she couldn't deal with things sober was a real kind of microcosm of everything that was happening there. So, yeah, pretty cool.
To bounce off of what you were saying a little bit, Pete, what I thought was so fascinating about how they...
She was like a little ping pong ball.
No, I do get that. What I think was so fascinating about what they hit with this episode, and I think you're getting towards this as well, Justin, is it's not morose. Like, it deals with the death of Chance. It puts it front and center, but it would be very easy to sit in that and make it this, and I don't mean this the wrong way, but like grim slog of going through like, oh my God, we are mourning the entire time. This is upsetting and raw. And you do feel that, and you let the characters feel that. Particularly, there's a speech Jordan gives late in the episode where she reveals how Andre died heroically inspired by Marie. And that's hard. You can really feel London Thor, I think is the actress who's playing Jordan in that scene, crying and really feeling what's going on and channeling those feelings of losing Chance Perdomo. But they also let the episode be a Gen V episode in the world of the boys, which I almost think is the harder thing to do rather than just make it a mourning period. Instead, make it this tribute, because we don't know him. We don't know Chance Perdomo, but I'd have to imagine he would want them to do the show and still be doing the show, and that's what they're doing.
I mean, these guys are just so great at making television. Everyone who makes this show is really just so experienced and in command of the situation. To sort of expand out from just covering the tragic death of Chance, like, into the way that this show just wraps satire about our world, both Hollywood, politics, even getting into just how we treat each other, it's unbelievable. There's no show like it. And, you know, I put the boys and Gen V in the same bucket here, because just watching this first episode, I was like, ugh, I love this feel. It's thrilling. The way that they're able to touch everything with confidence, it's so hard. Most people can't do this across every job, is like deal with what's happening around them in politics and media, anything. And this show is able to do all of that, touch on it, comment on it, while also telling a compelling and funny superhero drama. Like, it's just a wild show. This show picks back up from a quality perspective right where the boys just ended.
And like, to your point, the school is now called God U. I mean, that's hysterical. That is a funny idea.
It was called that in first season, too.
Oh.
Yeah, it's Godalkin University. But yes, you're right. It is a funny idea.
Yeah, but I felt like they kind of really...
No, I mean, the new thing is that in the world of The Boys, Homelander has taken over at the end of the last season of The Boys. He recruited Kate and Sam over the summer, and they became his flunkies, as we saw particularly in the finale, though there were in a couple of episodes as well. And the thing that I guess I'm not surprised by, but was intriguing to me, is the first season was kind of a Boys season 3.5 and leaned into it here and there, but it always felt like, here's a special guest star, Ashley.
Yeah.
Here comes Homelander right at the end. This is just like, here's more of The Boys. It felt more flat to me, like we're just continuing this world. Exactly. Connected. The connections are deeper. They're more confident. While still keeping it focused very particularly on Jordan and Emma, and then later on Marie. A little less so Kate and Sam, but, you know, keeping focused on these characters. Let's talk about Cypher, because he is the big addition to the show. I do actually love Hamish Linklater. He is a fantastic actor. He was on Midnight Mass on Netflix, which is
he's one of the best. He's been on a ton of stuff.
Right, Flanagan, to the point of our podcasts. He was on Legion, which we covered on our Inside Legion podcast. He's great, and he brings, per the name, the exact sort of weird energy you want for a weird deed on the show.
Weird and menacing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that whole hand grinder thing was pretty intense.
So what do you think's going on with him? I mean, we're very early here, but, like, clearly he's not afraid of Homelander. We do have that intense scene where Kate comes to him, he grabs her, almost sticks her hand in a blender, and she can't really stop him. That's pretty scary. So what's going on with him? What's your, just like, based on the first hour, your theory about Cypher?
I feel like he must have, his power set feels like a mystery that is going to be unfolding over the course. The way he acts is so recklessly, it feels like he's either, like, immortal, invulnerable, or somehow, like, knows when he's going to die, so he's not afraid of his day-to-day choices. There's something going on here where he's, like, just an absolute chaos agent, a wild card who doesn't fear anything, which is cool and interesting, and it could mean a lot of things. I mean, a lifetime of reading superhero comics makes me think it's that these we can put the menu together of what he may be.
Pete, you got any early theories about Cypher?
No, but knowing this kind of show, he's going to have a, you know, it seems like he has a big power set. He's going to also have a big weakness. So I'm excited to see the other side.
Yeah, like he has to eat through his butt.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we got something about some butts, serious, probably.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of butt chugging in this episode. So
a lot of butt stuff. Tentacles, chugging. Yeah. What is a tentacle but a reverse butt chug?
Tentacle coming up.
A tentacle coming out is like a tube going in.
Oh, okay, yeah, but the chugging.
I gotta write that down. That feels really important. I gotta write that down. Give me just 1 second. I have to write that down.
And we have our sex ed class after this, where we're gonna find out a couple of things, right? The teacher said.
Yes, I'm the teacher, and you're gonna find. I'm gonna be honest. I'm doing a lot of lesson planning right now. You guys are gonna get a double recap, but
sweet.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what they're tipping their hand to, but I do feel like naming him Cypher, which is a code, is definitely tipping their hand to, like, some sort of mystery going on with him. So we'll see.
Let me throw this out. Maybe this could be another pop culture thing. What if he's like AI? Cypher, code, algorithm. That could also lend to sort of dumb fearlessness.
Yeah. Potentially. The other thing that's weird that I'll throw out there just while I'm looking through my notes, and then we can talk more specifically about the characters, but, like, what do you think is going on with this Odessa project? We see in the beginning, like I mentioned, Ethan Slater as Dr. Godalkin. That casting in particular, like, he's not the biggest star in the world, but he's a big Broadway guy. He wasn't Wicked. He's dating Ariana Grande, I think. So it feels like it isn't the sort of thing where, like, well, he died in the first scene. The end, that's the last you see Ethan Slater. What do you think is going on there?
Well, given that the first scene was about all of them taking the V before it was perfected, feels like either a way, and the fact that the show then immediately pivoted to setting up a very much a theme of supers versus humans. It feels like maybe there's a way it's about, like, maybe a reverse V formula or something that is about either perfecting or undoing the V formula for the sake of all of these characters.
I mean, that definitely seems fair. As a follow-up, though, how do you feel about that? And the reason I ask that is, like, of course, so much of the world of The Boys is focused around V, but we talked a little bit about the back and forth with the soup virus when we went from Gen V to The Boys. They had the virus, then they lost the virus, then they had the virus, then they lost the virus. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Do we need more, if this is what it is, more like, we have the V, and it's a different sort of V, and now we don't have the V? Like, what's your feeling on that?
Well, the thing I would say is the virus was, like, very much a MacGuffin, I think, and very much, like, a plot-ending device, mm-hmm. while a reverse V formula is something that could be a progressive plot device, because it could put characters who are very powerful, very human, back into a very superhuman, make them human, and I think that puts any character in a different place. And wouldn't this help any character that might be suffering from a V and life-ending moment, perhaps in another show that is in this universe, fix that situation?
Yes, you're referring, in case it isn't clear to anybody, to Butcher, who is dying of V-related cancer.
A little Odessa juice up in the brain. Fix it.
Yeah. Interesting.
Go ahead, Pete.
I was just going to say, I think along the lines of Justin, I think it's an interesting thing that depending on how things go in this season, they could ramp up or ramp down easily, because it was this thing of, like, first off, amazing entrance by Starlight. That was huge to see her. I didn't see that coming, so that was really awesome and a badass moment. And then she's like, oh, Odessa. So because it could be like another more of a boys situation or Gen V, I think it's right now it could be an either or. So nice to have options as the season unfolds. But time will tell how important it really is.
This is the show that makes the formulas, while The Boys is the one that then fights over them.
Well, so that's a little bit of my issue that I don't want to happen. Like, I don't want this to be sub to The Boys. I want it to be its own thing. We talked about that a lot with the first season, with them constantly bringing up Homelander, being like, we got to kill Homelander. It's like, yeah, we know he's got to show up, but also stop talking about him. He's off screen. Keep it focused here on these characters that we're watching on this series. So I do get a little worried about Starlight setting Marie up for a mission that ultimately will pay off on The Boys somewhere. I want it to be internal to the show.
But well, I bet it would also pay off here, especially someone like Marie, who's she considers her powers a curse. So mm-hmm. if this is about the V formula, whether it's an undoing or a changing of the formula, that feels like it can really affect these characters here, while also speaking to the larger. I got to think they're not going to repeat the idea comes in this show and then they just toss it to the next mm-hmm. one. I feel like something will change here that then Starlight perhaps will take to the other show. So it's more of a explosion than just a pass off.
Well, and that did feel like Starlight is there to send Marie on this journey versus Marie is there to support Starlight's journey. That was the impression that I got from the writing and sort of just the way they framed the scene. So I do hope that comes to bear that way. I do think the real standout of this episode, though, which I was very surprised about, was Emma, who got to go on a big emotional journey, but also, I think, got the biggest laughs in the episode as well. How are you guys feeling about her?
Well, good. I mean, she also survives, which is great. So that's super helpful. But, like, I really was impressed with her, you know, that kind of things could go back. We see that sometimes with characters where they kind of fall backwards. And when she kind of shrunk down, was giving her that speech in the bathroom, I was like, oh, man. But then she really bounced back and became the life of the party just to kind of deal. So, I'm impressive with what they're doing with her. And she's growing on me as a character, pun intended.
Well, I like what they did in this episode. Felt like it reminded us of what her issues are, where she's not quite in control of her powers. She struggles to deal with, you know, how she feels about herself. But we sort of laid that in, and then we moved into sort of the larger issues. I thought her scenes reconnecting with the other with Sam, and the way that was really well done, and is shows that it's the Emma seeing Emma is affecting Sam, and Kate has to then like reestablish.
She's got to keep mind wiping him. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
her emotional erasure of how she says feel nothing, and he sort of shuts off emotionally, which I think that's really. It's a great metaphor for what it feels like often in a world where we are overwhelmed by a ton of things, and the way that drugs and other things on the internet are shut down, emotional shutdown places. And the way they're using that here is really good. And it makes me, gives me hope that Sam will emerge as a hero again at some
point. Yeah. And it was kind of tough.
I say protagonist, not. It's hard to call him a hero.
Yeah, but, it was hard because I was surprised that Sam was kind of treating Emma like a nobody, like they don't have a lot of history together. But then when you saw the mind wiping going on, you're like, oh, that makes sense why he's so cold to her.
It's more emotion wiping that she's doing than mind wiping, though it has.
Right, I was just saying.
Yeah, no. I'm just clarifying because I do think it's interesting that it's different. Like he remembers everything. But he's specifically shutting himself off. He's essentially using Kate as a drug, is what's going on.
Yeah, but if Kate dies, like, does he get his kind of emotions back, or do they stay dead? You know what I mean?
Well, she seems to have to do it pretty regularly. So,
okay,
If she dies.
Seems like she's dead. But
yeah,
unless you
hang out the extra couple of seconds for the this season on Gen V. But I guess we'll
see.
That's cheating.
That's cheating.
I'll tell you what. Like,
it's not cheating.
It's not. Dude, first of all, not cheating. Second of all, when that rolled in the credits, I was like, oh, I kind of wish I didn't know that because I was.
There was a lot of information in that next this season on.
Yes, but one thing that I did want to ask you guys before we move on from Emma. Would you play beer pong with a tiny little human? Because that seems kind of gross to me.
Also, you gotta
mean,
be a sure
a
shot.
A little mean.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think she was on board.
Yeah. It's mostly about drinking the beer that a full human has dipped in. That seems gross.
But if the germs were on Emma, didn't they shrink with her? So they're tiny germs.
Is that how that works?
I don't think that's bigger.
Not like big germs.
We got to explore that.
I think the problem you're having is with the germs. I'm just saying it's a little bit.
Alex, your problem exists in regular beer pong.
That's why I don't have a problem with. They usually have a thing where you wash the ball before. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. My point being is that
you don't want to get into it. The ball washing cup is a perfect vessel for cleanliness. You dip the ball and your fingers into a cup of lukewarm water from a frat house sink.
Yeah.
Tap it on the table twice.
Any
which
house
is also
sink.
Disgusting.
It doesn't have to be a fraternity house sink, my friend.
True, but a fraternity house sink is especially gross, I would argue.
Definitely hasn't been cleaned ever.
Which really depends on which fraternity.
Then you toss it in the cup, and you yell at your friend, like, drink that garbage. Drink my finger juice.
Yeah.
When you put it that way, actually, I'm on board. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I just meant it's more humiliating to her as a human being to be an object. So that was my point.
Let's talk about Jordan. How did you feel about Jordan's journey in the episode?
Jordan D. White?
Just a reminder that Jordan uses they, them pronouns. Just I'm reminding myself as much as you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. But what'd you guys think?
I really liked it was so much about the emotional connection between Jordan and Marie that I feel like Jordan last season was so much of a tough exterior character that like we couldn't get to the emotions there. And then this was all about the emotions at the forefront. I love that moment when Jordan and Marie saw each other. Like that was really nice. Like, I what a smart flip of the character, especially in comparison to Emma, which was more like, here, remember, these are her issues. With a Jordan, it was like, oh, look, this is what they're dealing with now and pushing forward with it. So
yeah, I agree with JT says. I really like Jordan, and I think they are great character. We really get to see kind of their emotions on their face. The acting's really impressive. I'm excited for hopefully where they are going. That little kind of hand holding moment too was also really powerful and cool. So, yeah, big fan of Jordan.
And I feel like the switch is even smoother this season. Like, there's less business to get through in terms of how it works. And it kind of feels like they're letting Jordan's male aspect be a little harder and female aspect be a little softer, which certainly makes sense from a gendered perspective. But they're just kind of going with it. It's just happening. And I appreciate that as well. Again, rather than like spending too much time on business. This is a very little thing, but while I'm looking at this here, they show off a little bit of the Flipped trailer, which is the body switching comedy that Kate and Sam were in. Oh, yeah. Sam can't act, right? Like, there's no way that movie is any good. Like, Kate, I can buy, but Sam, like, I don't know how he delivers or memorizes lines.
Well, I like that they said it was bad. They said the movie wasn't, no one was watching it. And, you know, I said a little bit of this earlier, but, like, the way this show can seamlessly move into, like, into Hollywood satire is just great. Like, the Hollywood thinking, and then it them still being, like, dealing with all of the ramifications of a human versus soups vibe in the country. At the same time, they're like, I need to get more acting work. It's, again, just piling on these characters.
I want to talk more about Marie, if that's all right.
Yeah, of course. I would love to hear you talk about Marie.
Oh, great. I took some shots at Maria. She's not very good at hiding out. But I really
like devastating Pete. Really upset. She's upset.
I also think there was a lot of great moments with Marie, and when she finds out Andre's dead and that kind of stuff was really powerful and amazing. All the just staying in that one place when you're trying to hide aside, I think that she is a good character, and I'm excited for, you know, how she's going to kind of move forward this year. It's tough because I feel like the only chance she has a kind of like, she has this kind of side mission that clearly at the end of this episode is never going to be picked up again. So it's kind of sad, but I'm excited for what's going to happen with her moving forward. And hopefully at the end of all the madness, she'll get to get back to that. But it was just
finding
kind of
her sister. You mean.
Yeah. Cause it was like, what? Oh, she's aiding for, well, okay. And then it was like, oh, new adventure knocking on the door and saving me. Okay. Well, sister's gonna have to wait a little bit, and you're like, oh no, I really am invested in this now, but we got to put it on hold a little bit. But yeah,
I bet we get some payoff of that this season. I mean,
yeah, it really depends on how they're planning, honestly. Like, if they're looking at this as a multi-season arc towards finding Annabeth, and that's eventually what they're getting towards, we could see that, like Pete is saying, on the back burner. But it does feel like they started so specifically with this that there needs to be more along that journey and more mystery there as we go.
Now, Pete, if you were in Marie's position, what would you do differently from a hiding out perspective?
Well, I'm just saying you can't keep, if you're hiding, you can't stay in the same place after you've been like stalked on the news. You know what I mean? Like, you've been on camera in one place. Stop going back to that gas station. You know what I mean?
But
like,
you're saying she shouldn't have gone to the gas station right across the street from her motel.
And then also kept going back to that gas station and kept staying in the same hotel. Once you're on the news for being in a fight at a location, you've got to move. You've got to, okay, that's burnt. On to the next town. You know what I mean?
Here's her problem is she checked out but didn't buy the firecracker freedom sticks, and she should have bought them because then Dog Knock couldn't have smelled them.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And as we know,
never touch the chips.
Yeah, but when you're in the store there and you can put your grubby hands in on all the food, you can tell that.
Why
that's
would
what
you
really.
Do that?
That's what dogma
I guess I'm getting some germ phobias out on this podcast, but
really?
Why would you do that, Pete?
Yeah, really.
Why would you touch everything in the store?
I touched some chips. I touched a lot of chips.
Choose something visually,
Justin
then pick it up
loves
and go
touching
pay for
chips,
it.
Dude.
Yeah,
he
but
just
it's
picks
like,
up bags and is like
a good bag of chips is like an avocado. You got to give it a little squeeze. You got to see what the inside's like. Are there more chips? Too much air? You open a bag of chips, there's too much air? That's heartbreaking, Alex.
Yeah, Alex.
And I deserve some product that I pay for.
I do remember you did that thing one time. Justin and I went to a hotel. We were staying at a hotel, and you got a ton of chips, and you did that thing where, like, you know, put money all over yourself and like throw it up and put it all over your body. He did that, but with chips.
Yeah.
Well, you guys were having a heck of a night, huh? Just
we cut loose. We got a lot of chips.
Yeah.
We got throwing chips around like money.
And here's about I took care of it, Pete, just like you'd want me to. I took the chips after I'd rolled around them naked, put them back in the individual bags, and put them back in the convenience store that Alex buys his chips at. Yeah. I did him a flavor.
Oh, man. Yeah, I like these chips. They're Justin flavored.
Mm,
yeah.
You can really taste the hair.
Oh.
Yep. Yep. There's a hair in everyone.
Yeah, I did like Dog Dot. Very fun, very classic boys style antagonist. Yep. Just having him crawl around.
Ridiculous, fun.
Very ridiculous, very fun. Mm-hmm. What else in the episode? Very fun, very briefly seeing the Deep as the former frat president.
Oh my God, all those pictures of the Deep. That was hilarious.
That was.
They love him and they love to put him in fun places.
Yeah. Also, I know we'd already talked about her, but Emma's drunk acting was very funny as well. Particularly, I wrote down the line, cool, did you say you have some ketamine? Yeah. Which made me laugh out loud.
That was funny.
Funny, the dude who's like, what if you shrank but your boobs didn't? Funny, dumb guy line to say.
Yeah.
Salt burn too, salt burnt.
Good joke as well.
Hollywood.
Solid. Yep. Solid.
I love when they do school stuff. Like, it was mostly frat party stuff here, not going to class. But, like, they have a specific setting that is intrinsically different from the corporate setting of the boys or wherever else that takes place. So playing into that and playing into just them hanging out, being kids, getting drunk, hooking up, I think that gives it a very different flavor and it makes it more fun.
That's a great flavor of Justin chips.
I agree with that.
Also, the song choice at the end, Edge of 17 by Stevie Nicks. Banger, dude. Great, fun way to end the episode. Come on.
Nice. Boomer banger for Pete LePage.
Hey, don't I also call like. A boomer, bro.
That's a boomer banger. The song. You're young. You're young. End of sentence.
Great. What were you going to say, Justin?
Yeah, I don't know what just happened.
I was going to say I was being nice to my young friend Pete.
Yeah.
The thing I was going to say is I love Vodify instead of Spotify.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Very
that
fun.
Was a fun bit.
The butt-chugging sequence that we referenced earlier that I did write down was really funny when she causes a bit of a butt spray.
Yep.
A reverse butt chug, mm-hmm. which I said was a tentacle, but it's definitely when you spray beer out your asshole.
Yep.
I love the moment when the clerk at the store said, isn't that her? Walking across the street.
That was hysterical.
Those are just funny moments that you're like, that's like an experienced TV creator moment. Like
100%. It's like somebody, this is not slagging anybody off, but like somebody's clearly suggesting, okay, so we set this up. They catch up with her halfway through episode 2. And then somebody in the room is like, why don't they just look outside and see her that we can get to the interesting stuff much faster?
Yeah,
it's great.
It's great. One thing we didn't talk about with Cypher, what is he eating? He is blending up. Was that like a whole chicken breast, bones and all, with the milk and the fruit and the peanut butter for cheat day?
I did not see that.
Maybe I saw it wrong.
Again, pushing that he is immortal or invulnerable to.
Yeah.
I think he was eating that lava chicken, you know what I mean?
Oh, you love that lava chicken.
Yeah. What's lava chicken?
Steve's lava chicken.
It's a reference to the Minecraft movie.
Come on, man. How many times have you seen the Minecraft movie?
Pete, you got to stop hanging out just with kids. Hang out with us instead and talk about superhero TV shows.
Yeah, we're right next to it.
I want to talk about the truck nuts. I thought
it's
that
crazy
was
for a dude who just referenced loving Edge of 17 to be like dropping a Minecraft ref right afterwards.
Dude, there are levels to me, my friend. I'm like an onion. I really love the truck nuts scene where the dude was, you know, you're like, oh man, don't kill an innocent.
I'm like an onion. I love truck nuts too.
Yeah. I just thought it was so funny how it's like, oh, don't kill an innocent person. Then you're like, but he has truck nuts. And then there's this thing that's like, okay, well, you can murder that guy. I mean, he likes truck nuts.
It's a classic case of Chekhov's truck nuts. They're established at the top of the scene, and then that dude gets truck nutted. Hashtag truck nutted.
He does get truck nutted. You know, yeah. I mean, that's a horrible way to go.
Too, that fight scene, like, absolutely disgusting. I forgot how gross Marie's power is. It's pretty gross. It's
really gross, yeah.
And the way that that's she takes care hiding. Of everybody. Yeah, the way she takes care of everybody is pretty gross as well. But mm-hmm. I did like her having a hero moment at the same time. That was fun.
She liked it, too. I liked the little smile coming mm-hmm. out of it. And that set up so well the Annie Starlight conversation. Like, she's like, you're a hero, you're going to do this. And she's like, fuck, you're right. I just smiled after that scene a minute ago. So it's all
what's
there.
Funny is I have my notes, Justin, and it's great that you're here to help me because I was like, oh, man, is that like he got teabagged by those truck nuts? But now that, it's truck nutted is what he got. So that was, yeah. You answered my question I wrote down in my notes. It's really impressive.
I read all your notes, Pete. I come into your house to just make sure
from dog nut to truck nuts, we're talking about it all here on the podcast. Any other moments from the episode you guys want to call out?
I really love the way this show is able to use, satirizing conservatism and the language they use, but also liberal language. Mm-hmm. It can vacillate between the two so well. At the same time, it's jumping between the cruelty and the empathy that the show has for its characters and from its characters. This show can be so mean to everyone in a way that is like really refreshing to like something negative.
I do wonder, and I'm very nervous about this if they do, but concerned if they don't, how much this is going to reflect the current situation with universities in America, because these shows have been so timely and so on it in a scary way for every season of The Boys and the first season of Gen V. But now we're in a place where the United States government is actively attacking universities and extorting them. I don't think that's something they're going to deal with, because that's a relatively recent thing and they probably didn't have time to exactly one-on-one that in the show, but I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens.
Well, it's interesting. I feel like right now the way the God use aligned with mm-hmm. Homelander and all that, it doesn't make sense, but you could predict a last episode moment where someone else has finally, maybe the chicken bone comes back to haunt Cypher with an eye, and he dies. Someone else takes charge, and they do make that move. That feels like a last end of season moment, perhaps.
Well, and it's also a flip from the way things were in the first season, where it was a liberal bastion university. So seeing it now as a conservative-forward university, it'll be interesting to see what that changes in terms of the dynamic on campus. Anything else? Pete, any other notes?
No, I just super impressed with the whole kind of chase of it all. So, it's chance. Jeez.
No, that's okay. I mean, that transfers nicely into what I wanted to talk about. Normally, at the end of the episode, we do who was best boy, but I don't think we have a choice other than to give it to Chance Perdomo for this episode. Obviously, he was not here in this episode, but he is very much not forgotten, and they did a great job, as we said, of weaving that throughout. And we're going to weave throughout every single episode of this show as it broadcast, including the three on premiere day. If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts, we do patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every week to YouTube, 7 p.m. on Tuesdays. We would love to chat with you about The Boys and Gen V and everything else in this world. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, those boys, let's hear it for them.
And let's jump right over into sex ed, because we get a big lesson today. It's about getting truck nutty.
Oh, yeah.
You're due for your biannual cleaning, something you usually forget and would rather not remember. But you just got a reminder from the Gentle Dentist in Worthington. Call 614-431-3311.
A mochi moment from Tara, who writes, "For years, all my doctor said was eat less and move more, which never worked. But you know what does? The simple eating tips from my nutritionist at Mochi. And after losing over 30 pounds, I can say you're not just another GLP-1 source. You're a life source. Thanks, Tara. I'm Myra Ammett, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Tara is a Mochi member compensated for her story.